Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, Tina Turner was born there.
In Nutbush?
Yeah, also known as Anime Bullock, according to Woody, who is watching us on Facebook. And we can verify it, too.
Yeah.
So Nutbush is in Tennessee, just outside Memphis. And a number of people have texted in at 314-436-7900 to remind us of that. And wanted to remind us of Nutbush City Limits.
Yeah. Well, and Matt Pajeski knew about Nutbush.
That was the name of the song, Nutbush City Limits.
He said he's known about Nutbush for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Just because of the song, though.
It does. You know what? I keep thinking of Flatbush, which is in New York.
Flatbush. Yep.
Yeah. So I didn't. Maybe I knew about Nutbush.
I have a story about New York. Speaking of New York. But I will say, quick blues update. We talked earlier about how Mark Scheifele did not make the trip with Winnipeg to St. Louis. He will obviously not be playing in the game tonight. The Blues almost didn't make it home. They had maintenance issue on their plane, so they were supposed to get home at 1 p.m. yesterday.
Yikes.
They got home at 9 p.m. because they had to send a different plane because their plane was broken. So that's why they all got in a lot later.
I was on a charter flight once with the White Sox, and they had a... We left on time. We left when we were supposed to. They had a deal with United Airlines, so that's the airline we flew. I was told by the United liaison that used to fly with us, and he said, apparently the plane we were going to use had a mechanical problem.
Yeah.
So instead of us waiting around for that to get fixed or whatever, we took a plane that was supposed to be going from Chicago to Houston. It was a full flight of people. And they just swapped planes. Didn't tell them.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't tell the people that's what happened. And then he's like, so they had to be delayed several hours. And then they found out they got their flight canceled.
Because of the White Sox?
Because of the Sox.
Ugh. It's not even like a good
White
team.
Sox. I know. Taking their airplane. And they had no idea that's why it happened.
I would be so mad. I'm like, no, my plane is fine. You can't have my plane. And here's the thing. Sometimes I do think it's better when they don't give you information. As much as we want transparency, we don't.
You don't want you that transparency. Because if you find out that you didn't get to go to Houston because the crappy Sox took your airplane, you would be furious.
At least it was Houston. But I will say this. My parents were traveling years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point. They also saved you from a trip to Houston.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know who's the winner here. My parents were traveling once, and they were on American Airlines, and they get an announcement at the gate. Ladies and gentlemen, our flight is being, will be delayed. There's a mechanical issue, blah, 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 blah. So then they wait, say half an hour goes by. Ladies and gentlemen, we have identified the issue. It is this, this part is not working. We are working on a solution. Ladies and gentlemen, they kept them updated 30 minutes later. Delta has this part. We believe we've secured this part, so we're just going to work with Delta Airlines. We're going to get this part. We'll let you know, and we'll be able to get on our way. 30 minutes later, ladies and gentlemen, Delta does not want to sell us their part.
Doesn't want to
sell? Yes!
Oh, what?
And my mom said they kept kept them updated. Like, American Airlines and Delta were fighting and negotiating over this part. And she's like, honestly, I don't want to get on this plane now. Like, don't. That's where people, when you think you want transparency, you don't. You don't want to know. I would rather sit in ignorance at my gate for 2 hours than follow American Airlines trying to buy this part off of Delta and then maybe install it correctly so we can take off.
You know, here's the way I feel about it. And I agree with being a little nervous if there's a mechanical issue they have to fix before we take off. But ultimately, I feel comfortable knowing the pilots are good. If the pilots are good to take off in that plane and they know more than I do, then I assume the plane is fine. And that goes for the flight attendants, too. All these people who do this professionally, if they're willing to take it off, then I think we're probably fine, right?
I guess. I hope so. I don't know. I feel like the past year has not been great for my confidence in the aviation industry, even though most of my confidence would probably be, like you said, in the pilots. The last thing I would want is a autonomous plane.
Definitely not.
No.
Or when they were proposing... No. And I think there were some airlines wanting to do it. And of course, the government won't allow this, at least not right now, but to have single pilots, just one pilot in the cockpit.
Oh, I thought you meant like unmarried.
Well, you know what? You probably do want a single, because you know he's not going through anything awful at home, right?
But at the same time, a married pilot wants to get home safely to his wife and kids, or husband and kids.
Maybe not. Maybe they're having a problem. I think that would be a horrifically bad idea for there to not be two pilots.
I think you can never be too safe when it comes to flying a plane. You want to have multiple layers of precaution.
Regulation, baby.
You brought up New York, and we have been having this conversation about smartphones being banned in schools. New York is joining the smartphone school ban. Governor Kathy Hochul is arguing for a bell-to-bell ban, which, if you remember, I think you were here, Ranj, that we had a Parkway school district teacher weigh in. Oh, you might not have been here. So I was on Donnybrook last Thursday night. We talked about the Parkway school district's phone ban going into effect next year. And remember how we talked to the superintendent? And that ban is per classroom. Like, you put your phone in the classroom at the front and you get it in the hallways and then you put it back in the classroom, back at the front of the classroom when you go in class to class. Charlie Brennan had said that Clayton High School, Clayton District, has that classroom to classroom cell phone ban. And he said there's something of a fly in the ointment because it's really just putting a lot of pressure on teachers because they're being forced to enforce the cell phone ban and how they might be considering or at least talking about revising it, whether it's a bell to bell ban, I don't know. But we had I had some Parkway teachers reach out to me and say, we actually would prefer a bell to bell ban because right now it's really difficult for kids who are getting their phones back at the end of each class. One, you can still film fights, you know, and kerfuffles in the hallways, but also it puts the onus and the responsibility, the burden on the teachers to get those phones back each classroom. So that was kind of interesting. And thank you to Parkway teacher who reached out and said, we actually would want a bell-to-bell ban. And that's what Governor Kathy Hochul is hoping for. There's more than 700 districts in New York City, and school leaders then would be required to create plans to store students' smartphones from bell-to-bell, prevent unsanctioned use, meaning that there's going to be some sanctioned use for emergencies, medical emergencies, and so forth during class, lunch, and other parts of the day. It would be in effect for students kindergarten through 12th grade and would also include internet-enabled personal devices like smartwatches.
Yeah. So this is the New York ban we're talking about.
And this is quick interest. I think this is of note. If you're a parent who is very much afraid, guess what the ban does not apply to? It does not apply to basic cell phones that don't have the internet, social media access.
Right.
So you could send your kid to school with a flip phone, which would be the emergency situation.
Now, in the state of Illinois, there is a Senate bill that is working through the legislature right now. It's SB 2427, and it has passed the Senate in Illinois, and now the House has to take a look at it. There's a House committee that has to take a look at it. That would pretty much be the same thing. There would be exceptions for if a physician, for example, says that a child needs it for whatever reason, stuff like that. But otherwise, it would be turn your phones off. In Collinsville, they are right now looking at the same thing. There's a school board meeting coming up on the 19th, and the district is going to talk about this. And currently, the way the bill is, or the way the policy is, students in high school can have it during passing periods and before and after school. What they're proposing is that the cell phone has to be turned off at the start of the day and then turned back on at the end of the day. At least that's the way I read what they're trying to do. So they're trying to get rid of the right now. Here's the way they can use them. Educational purposes with teacher permission during passing periods, before school and at lunch. And what they want to do is have them turn their phones off, put away during instructional time and passing period. So sounds like they can't have it at all during the day, maybe at lunchtime, if I'm reading this correctly.
Bell to bell would be not even lunch.
Yeah, I don't. So policies. Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. If that's what New York is doing is bell to bell, right?
Yes, yes.
And so I don't have it. Look, I don't have a problem if a student has them during lunch hour. That's okay with me. I don't think there's any harm done there.
Just as long as you're not overburdening teachers when they resume classes. Because that's a lot for teachers. Right. Teachers have to do so much already.
If it's you got to turn it back off as soon as you hit the classroom and everybody has to, then fine. But if it would make the teacher's job easier to just turn it off altogether all the way through the 6 or 7 hours during the course of the day, then absolutely do it. But the idea here in Collinsville and what the state of Illinois wants to do. Now, the point is Collinsville is going to do its own thing probably regardless of what the state is about to do. And I guess once the state law is passed and everybody has to follow it, they're just trying to get ahead of it, Collinsville is. I think whatever you have to do to make the environment better for learning, that's what you have to do. And it sounds like every school district that is considering this or state that's considering this says the exact same thing. Students are not as engaged as they used to be. And that is a huge problem.
And as we mentioned, I mean, this has bipartisan support. When New York, California, Florida, Missouri, Louisiana, Illinois all agree that we want to start having some statewide crackdowns, it's a bipartisan movement, as I mentioned. And I would say, talking to young people, talking to teens, again, we unleashed this technology on them. It is breaking their development, stunting their emotional, social, psychological, mental development, not to mention that's on top of the distraction throughout the school day and how it's hindering their academic growth. So I love that adults are stepping in saying, we are going to relieve you of this burden, because the first classes that have gone 4 years, you know, the first classes to graduate in a phone-free environment have seen so much improvement, not only academically, but as I mentioned, emotionally, psychologically, socially, they're engaging. And I think, Ranj, my parents and I were talking about this, just how stressful it is to be a parent because of all the things you have to worry about with teens. Man, you know, if you get bullied, it's one thing to be bullied, which is terrible, but then to be bullied and there's a photo and it goes to multiple school districts, like it gets really dark.
Yeah.
We know there was a young girl who was bullied online out, I think it was in the St. Charles area a couple of years ago, and took her own life. And I mean, just like, I think removing phones from this situation has layer upon layer of benefits and protections for these teens. And I think they'd be relieved. Like I said, when we talk to those students, they're like, yeah, we're kind of stuck being on our phones, but if we could snap our fingers and make them go away, we would.
And I bet it's probably half and half. You probably have 50% or about who feel that way, another 50 who would say, no, I want my phone. But ultimately, if everybody has to put their phone away, your friends have to put their phones away, and it's like you're in that together, it's not that big of a deal. It would be a problem if you're the one student in class who isn't allowed to have his or her phone. because then you feel left out. But if everybody's left out, you're not. You're all in it together. So I think students would certainly learn to live with it, and they would probably end up liking it if that's what ended up happening. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Let us know what you think. 314-436-7900 to call or text. Or you can leave us a voice message right from the Odyssey app, where you should be listening to the show and the podcast and all that stuff. You know you can do that, right?
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I think that we're going to wake up at some point in this country and realize what we have done to an entire generation of kids that are on this highly addictive product called social media.
That's Texas Representative Jared Patterson talking about social media. We were just talking about the cell phone ban and the biggest reason for legislators wanting to ban cell phone use in school, or, you know, school boards wanting to do the same, is because kids are addicted to social media. I'm an adult, and I wouldn't say I'm addicted to it, but I look at it.
Yeah.
You are?
I think so, because the reason why I think I'm addicted is, one, I notice when I'm not on it, like, I check it, and if I'm sitting on the couch every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I do that.
And I feel like that's an addiction, like, whether it be, like, it might be different than alcoholism, but an addiction like a drug, I constantly need a hit from the social media. I don't like admitting it, but I think I am, because I reach for my phone without thinking, because I need a social media hit.
You got old man Pajeski over here like, oh yeah, you are. Like, shut
I know
up.
You are.
Well, but here's the thing, Matt. We're also in it. You should be too, honestly.
I should be addicted.
You should be.
I don't want to be addicted.
No, you should, because look, it's sort of unavoidable because of the jobs we do. We constantly, I don't know how people did it before Twitter.
Newspapers.
but like, it's, everything is so fast now and fast changing. You can't rely on a paper copy of a newspaper in the morning. You kind of have to be up to speed on what's going on all the time. You have to, for doing what we do, whether you're in sports or news or both, you have to sort of force yourself to have some time. But there's also that desire to always know if something is happening in that moment.
It is. But I think, let's say, even if something is a valid reason can create a really bad habit or an addiction. And I think that's what's happened. Yes, we're on our phones. And I've said I want to get rid of my smartphone. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, tickets to baseball games, my airline tickets, my hiking, like when I go on trails, that's all on my smartphone. I can't get rid of it. But I'm a reader. I love reading. I used to read for hours at a time as a kid. And Ranj, I will pick up a book and read. I have to force myself not to grab my phone in the middle of a page. Why would I be halfway through a page and randomly be like, well, I'll check Instagram? So I know I have an addiction, and I want to step away from that. But I'm thinking, I think I have a lot of willpower. You know, I'm a confident 41-year-old woman. I like to be fit. I like to be healthy. I want to take in good things. I want to read. And I'm addicted. Can you imagine teens with developing brains who've grown up on this technology?
Yeah, and it's all you know.
Yeah. I don't want to say hopeless, but it feels hopeless. It feels like we've unleashed heroin. It really does. And even we've talked to doctors, Ranj, who have said, yes, the parts of the brain, social media specifically, stimulates. It's the motivation part of the brain where it kills your motivation.
Yeah.
It tampers your ability to regulate emotions. You can't regulate your emotions. You feel irritable. It makes you used to instant gratification. So you get very angry when you don't get something immediately.
So what they're doing in Texas under a bill that was just passed by the House, and you heard Representative Patterson talking about that, social media companies would be banned from allowing people in the state under 18 from creating accounts, any social media account. They would also have to implement measures to verify the ages of users. Social media companies can use a commercially reasonable method that relies on public or private transactional data to verify age. So potentially uploading a photo ID, for example. And this is that's a pretty big step.
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with schools. That's all kids under 18, what they're trying to do in Texas.
And they do cite some statistics. You played Jared Patterson, the representative out of Texas. He said a recent study documented suicides have increased by 91% for boys, 167% for girls, while self-harm, eating disorders, and other mental health issues are skyrocketing. He says, he goes on and said, this is all in direct correlation to more and more young people gaining access to harmful social media platforms. And I know there's never a monocausal reason for a certain trend, but I do think we know the data shows, even if the numbers are differ, we know social media harms the mental health of kids, and it was intentionally designed to be addicting. And the Center for Combating Online Hate, it's a longer name like that. We spoke to one of the leaders at that organization and said they created fake 14-year-old type a user account saying, let's see, how does Facebook and TikTok and Instagram interact with someone that they think is 14 years old? And the harmful content, the self-harm, the pro-eating disorder content, the sexually explicit content that was intentionally fed to these fake kids,
right,
through the algorithm is just, I think it's criminal.
One other thing this Texas bill would do, which I think is pretty fascinating, is allow parents to request to the social media companies that they shut down their child's existing social media accounts. So the way it sounds, if you already have an account, you're grandfathered in. They're not going to take it away from you. But if you're the parent of a minor, you can go to Facebook and say, or TikTok or Twitter and say, hey, get rid of my kid's account. And they would do it. That one is pretty interesting.
It is. And I wonder, too, if like, yeah, I guess it's if you're under 18. I can see, but if the kid's 12, like, a parent should have a right to say, I don't want my 12-year-old.
Well, I guess a parent can do whatever they can tell you to do whatever they want to, right? Within reason.
Yeah.
If you're under 18, because you're still a minor.
Yeah.
You don't have those sorts of rights yet.
And I don't trust Mark Zuckerberg, who just removed some of the guardrails regarding their AI companions, who now become very sexually explicit, and like was revealed in a stunning investigation by the Wall Street Journal, that not only did the AI bot companion get very sexual and descriptive and really like gross sexual situations with its users, regardless of the age, like the user could be a minor, but you could also program the AI bot to be a minor, which is horrible, and then program the sexually explicit conversations. Now, Facebook said, well, or Meta said, we shut that down after the investigation.
Yeah,
that's terrifying. That's terrifying.
Yeah. And also, some of the pushback against it is because of data breaches and having to put more information or give more information to social media accounts. And we're talking about this Texas bill, because you'd have to maybe upload a photo ID. And there are people who don't like the idea of having to do that, or being forced to do it, to set up a social media account. It's a really interesting one to follow, and we will continue to do that. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji.
I like broccoli stock Hancock.
I see. If we're giving John Hancock a nickname instead of Bump Hancock, Broccoli Stalk Hancock, because of he was talking earlier about the
permanent,
the perm that he had in his hair.
He had a permanent.
Only on the top, and he said he looked like a stalk of broccoli. That's not bad. The voice message from Mo.
That's funny.
You can drop us one from the Odyssey app. There's a button that says send a message. You tap it, you record it, and then you send it over to us, just like Sue did.
I had a serviceman in my house the other day doing a repair, and we were talking about sports. He was just transferred from California to Missouri. I was amazed when he said the sportscasters in town don't really know what they're talking about. I said, you obviously haven't listened to Chris and Amy, because they completely know the sports that they're reporting on.
Yes.
Have a good day.
Yeah, Sue.
Sue gets it.
That's right. Sue does get it.
Hey, Matt, will you record that and keep it and send it to our boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, send it to Steve.
Send it to Steve.
He's always bitching about something, so send him this.
thank you, Sue.
They don't know what they're talking
about,
Steve.
That's weird because isn't St. Louis known for awesome sports broadcasters?
Yeah, I guess.
You're telling me John Rooney and Ricky Horton don't know what they're talking
about?
Yeah. Maybe she was listening to someone else.
I don't think he was talking about broadcasters. There's a difference between, you know, sports people.
Oh, you mean like that other station?
Yeah, they like don't a know sports what they're talking station. About. There's like that, right?
Well, he's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about. You want to know sports? Camo X, Gas House Gang, Hockey Amy.
What time's the Gas House Gang on?
Noon o'clock.
Noon o'clock today, and it's going to be Matt Pauly, Mike Claiborne, and me from 12 until 1.
Hockey Amy's going to the game again.
Former Cardinal Scott Terry is going to be on the show at 12:30.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Cardinals. We'll get into some Blues talk as well because Game 6 is tonight. You damn right we know what we're talking about on this show when it comes to stuff, right? That's what Sarah says. She dropped a voice message, too.
I really enjoyed your discussion on drugs and drug costs and, you know, how it affects the consumer. And I am one of those patients whose doctor prescribes a certain drug and the insurance company refuses it. Then my doctor has to jump through hoops to try and get me something that's similar but may not be the exact same drug that he wants. And it's extremely frustrating for the patient. So I'm happy to know that there's someone out there that's standing up for us. Thank you for this very enlightening discussion.
Oh, that awesome. Is Sarah. And I would recommend going back and listening to, was it Doug Hoy we talked to yesterday?
He was so good.
Very, very good and thorough, discussing the problem and how medicine is just, it's through the roof. It's way too expensive in this country. And there is an effort from pharmacists around the country to lobby Congress to do something about it.
It was a great conversation. And as you mentioned, Doug Hoy was able to explain and discuss a pretty dry and complicated topic in a way that made sense, in a way that felt like not only could you understand the issue, but you could at least try to see a light at the end of the tunnel of how do we fix this. And maybe we're at a point where when things get bad enough, it swings the other way and we do start to take action. Kind of like the smartphones. Do we wish we had done it earlier? Yes. Do we wish we had realized what we unleashed on the kids? Yes, but we'll take action now. Obviously, the pharmaceutical companies, tons of money involved, and it's been going on for a very long time. But maybe this is a breaking point. Maybe we've gotten to a point where you said this is not sustainable.
It is not, and something will have to give. And so if you did miss that interview with Doug Hoy yesterday, it is on the Odyssey app. That is also the same app that you use to leave these voice messages we're playing for you.
Dodge cars, the bump. I can't wait to use this new lingo around my grandmother. She'll have a heyday.
Well, do not teach your grandmother
any of... I don't think he's teaching her.
That voice message from Gunner.
I think he's saying that she gets it.
Oh.
Because that's our...
Oh.
That was the age of our conversation.
I thought... Mm-hmm. Okay. I was thinking that he was saying...
That he was going to teach her these scandalous phrases.
That we are teaching his grandmother...
No.
...words that she doesn't need to know.
No, I think he's saying we are talking about things his grandmother did.
Okay.
Honestly, though, the bump...
Wait, so she knew about this stuff before us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and she used to... His grandma used to get after it back
in the
day?
How do you think we were all born?
Oh, from Gunner's grandmother?
From Gunner's grandmother.
I don't think it was from her.
No, but I mean, obviously, just because they're grandparents doesn't mean they don't know how to do stuff.
No,
Ron, you wouldn't be here if your parents didn't know what they were doing.
Nope. Nope.
You said, okay, can I just say, let me just say this. I walked a little taller yesterday because a couple times throughout the day, I remembered that I won the sperm race.
You did. There are about 8 billion people who won a sperm race.
I think that's amazing.
Actively.
But think of all the people who lost the sperm race. Well, not people, but they failed to be people because they didn't win the sperm race.
They'll never know it.
They won't, but I think it's really cool that all of us listening, all of us talking, all of us going about our day, we all won the sperm race.
We did.
And it was a pretty packed field.
Oh my God, like millions.
It was a pretty packed field.
It's pretty amazing to think about it that way, that you beat.
You know where the last time I thought about it? I was coming up on the History Museum on Lindell running, and it just came to me. I won the sperm race.
Yesterday?
Uh-huh. And I started running a little faster.
Why is Frank Ladd in the other room shaking his head at us?
He won a sperm race. We all did.
Do you think Frank doesn't like this drivel? I think that's what it is. I don't think he likes our show very much.
I think he thinks we're unserious.
Well, yeah.
Me? That's,
well, yeah, of
he
course
pointed
we
at me.
What do you want us to do? You want us to button up over here?
Listen.
You want us to have less fun?
John Hancock brought up the bump and hustle.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Blues need to do tonight against Winnipeg.
Oh my God, do they ever.
They need to bump and hustle some
and
Jets.
And you know why?
Why?
Because if, in case you have forgotten, you bet me money. You have you
what
have
did what was the bet again?
You have effectively participated in sports gambling.
Yes, but what was it again? I was $4, but for what?
So it was a bet of $4.
Yes.
I said that they weren't going to make it, that they were not going to win Game 7. You said that they are going to win Game 7 if they get there.
Okay? Wait, were we betting on Game 7? So we weren't betting on Game 5.
No, we were betting on Game 7.
Why don't I remember this?
Okay, so a couple of days ago. I took note. So you were betting that if they get to Game 7, they're going to win.
Yes.
I bet $4 against it.
Oh, that's rude.
So that means either way, I end up winning because I either get a Blues win or I get $4.
So do they have to get to Game 7?
Yes, they have to get to Game 7.
Because if we don't get to Game 7, you can't win Game 7.
Correct. Your bet was that if they get there, they will win.
And I stand by that.
Well, you have to because you bet it.
I know.
This is a bet.
I know.
Everybody heard it. So now you got to pay up if it doesn't happen, and I'll pay you
$4.
I will bring you $4 if they win Game 7.
Not
if they make it to Game 7 and
not
they
even enough for a latte. Isn't that crazy? It's like $8 for a latte. I don't get a latte. You know, I just get black coffee.
I think about that all the time when I get coffee somewhere. Yeah. And the thing like 8 years ago used to be, well, geez, you got to pay $5 for a cup of coffee. Think if you just saved that money. And I was thinking, like, it'd be awesome if it was only $5 now.
Yeah.
Because you could legitimately buy a coffee and it's like $6, $7, $8, depending on where you go. Unless it's mobile on the run, if the Cardinals score six runs the day before.
Or the free coffee in our kitchen.
Ew, no, that is, oh my gosh, I would rather lick a spoon. I don't know. It's just terrible.
A spoon that's sitting in the sink and it's been used.
Yeah, it's gross in there.
I'm going to say this, and I shouldn't.
Oh,
I shouldn't.
No. Okay.
I shouldn't put people behind the curtain, but I'm going to.
Okay.
If you are ever a guest at Odyssey St. Louis.
Oh no! Don't say that.
Yeah. No. If you're a guest here.
No.
Do not. If somebody offers you coffee, don't drink it.
It's just not any good. Can I do a PSA though?
It's not very good coffee.
If you want to save money, and you're a compulsive coffee drinker. I'm trying to cut down because I was drinking like a pot and a half a day, which is expensive even when you make it at home,
way
and it also
much.
Keeps you up. The Columbia Supremo from Costco. It's a bag this big. I don't know. It's like a foot and a half tall. The bag, I get the whole beans, and so I just grind them every day. The Columbia Supremo Kirkland Select from Costco is so good. I am addicted to that coffee. I don't even go to Starbucks anymore.
All right, well then bring me some. I don't have a Costco membership.
Neither do I. I have my dealer.
Okay. Well then
it's my dad.
have your dealer dad get me some too.
I go, "Dad, I need another bag of Columbia Supremo whole bean."
Oh man, you got the itch, don't you?
It's so good.
Text message here from, I suppose, listening to an earlier part of the show, probably from the Odyssey app, says, "Kids, Tina Turner was born in Nutbush. And Chris, FYI, there is a town in West Virginia called Dingus."
Dingus, West Virginia?
That's from Joni.
Thank you, Joni. What if...
What?
I think you... Wait, West Virginia? No. You could do one of those long-distance bike races, like... From Dingus to Nutbush.
Okay. That's not too far. It's Virginia to Tennessee. Far. You
could
make
I think you could do a bike, like for charity. Dingus to Nutbush bike race.
I bet Dingus to Nutbush is the same distance as downtown St. Louis to Wildwood, because it is so far to get to Wildwood. And Bob from Wildwood is the winner of our Alabama tickets.
Congrats, Bob.
So,
oh my gosh, and don't listen to him, Bob. He's so dramatic because he came to my birthday party.
In Wildwood, it was 500 miles.
To be fair, technically, it wasn't Wildwood.
It was past
it's
Wildwood.
It's Franklin County. Yeah, it was past Wildwood.
So, Alabama is playing at Ridgedale, Missouri at the Thunder Ridge Nature Arena. I almost called it the Nature Museum. May 25th, they'll be playing out there. And Bob has won our final pair of tickets. So, Bob, congratulations and you're welcome. It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Can always tell how boring their life is by how far back they have to reach for glory. They're like, remember how fast I used to be when I was a sperm? I'll never forget the day of the big race. There were millions of us in the field, but I beat them all to fertilize that egg, mister. Back in the cervix, I was semen first class.
Jim Carrey, I keep forgetting he was a stand-up comedian first.
I didn't know that was a hit. I was like, who is this?
Yeah. That's Jim Carrey, and he's right about the sperm race. We all won, so congratulations to us.
I just want to say I really did stand taller yesterday.
It's nice to know that you've won something.
Yeah, I think of all of that whole race, it was you. You won.
That's right. We have the Gas House Gang coming up at 12 o'clock. It'll be Matt Pauly, Mike Claiborne, and me. Scott Terry, former Cardinal, will join the show. Got a lot to talk about with the Redbirds and with the Blues. So that is our hour of sports talk that happens every day from 12 to 1.
You never want Friday to be a Tuesday, right?
No, but Tuesdays are great.
But Tuesday's great because the Gas House Gang talks to Ollie Marmol. But you could have asked him about the sperm race.
Oh yeah.
You say, hey, maybe the Central Division isn't going so well, but...
Listen, I know the road record isn't great, but you did win a race. I'm sure Ollie would totally appreciate that. And yeah, he does join us for like the first half hour or so.
You know, that's the talk of the town.
He takes a lot of questions, obviously from us, but fans will drop in questions. Either they'll leave messages on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or they'll text in messages, and he sees them. So,
no, and it really is like I'm actually not joking now. It is the talk of the town. I've heard like multiple people bring up.
It's
like,
really good.
You're talking to Ollie Marmol. He sees listeners' questions. Yeah. You read listeners' questions. It's a really unique point of access that like really doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah. So I do like Tuesdays. Yeah. So the show starts at 12 o'clock here today. And I did look it up. If you want a bike ride from Dingus to Nutbush, Dingus, West Virginia to Nutbush, Tennessee, 59 hours.
Well, how many miles?
You're not going to like this.
800.
666. Yes, it is 666. That's
so
how many miles.
It is something like that. Ew, it makes that you would do that.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Why? Just because of that?
I think if you did that as a race, you'd have to go Dingus to just past Nutbush.
Well, you could do three different routes.
Okay, pick a different route.
Well, that's the shortest one.
Don't do the shortest one. Do the most scenic.
The other one is 669 and the other one is 680.
Are there any toll booths?
I don't know.
Is there a toll booth on the way from Dingus to Nutbush?
No, they're all Eastern time zone.
What does that have to do with toll booths?
Oh, I think you're talking. Oh, you know what? I looked at the. I'm sorry. As we were. Hold on.
What are you doing?
Hold on. As we were talking, I'm looking at the. I'm looking at the Google Maps directions, and there's this. Like, warning. It says, warning, your destination is in a different time zone.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's true. All right.
Well, I kind of like the idea of a Dingus to Nutbush charity ride.
Me too. Do we, Amy, I think we should talk about this on Monday.
I think I know what it is.
Guess.
Full body deodorant.
Okay. That is not what I was going to say. That's not what I was going to say. There was a I noticed it on CBS mornings, CBS News mornings, and this was a couple of days ago, that I believe it was a TikTok. It was a TikTok post, and that at least that's where it started. Or they asked parents, what are some really unhinged, is what they called them.
Yeah.
Unhinged hacks they have for their children. And I don't want to give any away, but I will give you one that my parents did to me. Okay. And I bet parents did it to a lot
of. This is really good. Yeah.
And that is on New Year's Eve because they want you to go to bed. If you have your friends over.
Yeah.
They would let you watch the ball drop in New York, and it was only 11 o'clock local, but you didn't know that because you didn't know about time zones.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, it's 11 o'clock, or it's midnight. Go to bed.
Happy New Year.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is an unhinged parental hack. There were some really good ones submitted.
Yeah.
I think on Monday we'll talk about them.
The Billiken Golf Classic.
Yeah, we're going to do it from the Billiken Golf Classic at Norwood Hills Country Club. And we are going to talk to a number of people that day. We'll have Josh Schertz and Robbie Avila who will be with us, Rebecca Tillett, the women's basketball coach, and more. Chris May, the athletic director. We're going to have a big Billiken's Day on Monday from Norwood Hills. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday at 9 o'clock. Odyssey app if you want to get the podcast from the show. Amy, see you then.
Yes, sir.
The rest of you stick around. The Gas House Gang is coming up. Matt Pauly, Mike Claiborne, Scott Terry joins the show. That's happening on 104.1 FM KMOX next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.